Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the High Vibe Tribe podcast. I, of course, am Marcy Newman, your host, and we have a wonderful guest with us today, all the way from Ireland. We have with us Dr. Mary Helen Hensley. Welcome, welcome, and thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Dr. Hensley is going to be sharing with us one of the most incredible experiences that, of course, was so transformational in her life. But for those of you listening who have had similar experiences, my guess is that this conversation that we're about to have will also have you resonating, perhaps vibrationally. And so I invite you to pay attention to any resonance that you do experience, whether that's physical, mental, emotional, and of course, spiritually. But we're going to be talking about healing with sound, vibration, frequency, and light. And how this all started for Mary Helen was with a near-death experience in 1991. So let me tell you a little bit about her background aside from that. Mary Helen is an author. She is one of Ireland's most sought-after metaphysical healers and synergistic speakers. With a Bachelor of Arts in Communications and Graphic Design, Mary Helen went on to receive a Doctorate of Chiropractic in America and practiced in Ireland from 1999 until 2012. As I said, Mary Helen had her near-death experience in 1991, and I'm certain she will share that with us. But she began to realize that her previous skills of communicating with those in spirit had become so much more. And that is, I think, one of the most profound effects of a near-death experience, and that is the personification of gifts that are gifts of the spirit. And so, of course, we're going to hear more about that as well. But through a series of incredible serendipitous events that led her to develop her newfound ability and to facilitate the healing process, which, as we know, is monumental to our existence here on the earth. Dr. Mary Helen Hensley is the author of 9 books, including Promised by Heaven, co-author of the number one bestseller, Bringing Death to Life, and Understanding is the New Healing, Miraculous Recoveries from Physical and Emotional Trauma. Again, Mary Helen, I have to say, I'm so honored to have you here with us. And I cannot wait to dive in and hear everything, every last detail, because your journey has been incredible. So would you mind sharing with us the event that was the impetus for your near-death experience, and share with us how that has transformed your life?
So as you mentioned before, you know, growing up with this ability to see things before they would happen, you know, I had prophetic dreams. I've had a lifelong relationship with my grandfather, Dr. Garland Clark, who was in spirit from the time I was one. I had all these really cool things that were going on in my life, yet I wasn't using them in service to humanity in any way. And so I hit 21. I've just graduated from college. And as you do in the South, if you're still with your college sweetheart when you graduate, your mother's picking out the china patterns and the crystal goblets. And so you are expected then kind of to move to wherever he came from. And so my beloved at the time came from Charleston, South Carolina. And so we graduated and off we went back to his hometown of Charleston and kind of got underway with our big college degrees, and I thought I was so fabulous because I had my communications and graphic arts degrees, and I was mopping floors in a sign company because it was the only work I could get. And we were actually having our Christmas party, and it was December 14th, 1991. And it was Charleston, and it was very hot. I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and I was on my way to the Christmas party. And so I left my apartment, and I got to a traffic light that was at the intersection of a major highway, which is Highway 17. And I sat at the traffic light, and my light was red for quite some time. And when my light turned green, I had to drive across the lanes of traffic in order to make my left-hand turn towards town. So I had made it across several of the lanes. And when I got to the last lane, I looked left and I realized that there was a car coming towards me that was not going to stop. And so it turns out there was an elderly gentleman who was driving the car. He'd almost killed a couple earlier in the year. And luckily he wasn't taken off the road because I wouldn't have had my catalyst had he not. And as I looked and realized, oh, I'm getting ready to die, everything just stopped. Whoa. And it was so utterly amazing because it came down to literally a snail's pace, a crawl. And I'm sitting there and I am now keenly aware that I am getting ready to go through my death and that I'm in control of how I want to experience. So this is what's so strange is because I'm a preacher's daughter from the South. From the Bible. Wow. Now he wasn't a holy roller by any means. He was a big sports fanatic. So he was great to listen to in the pulpit. It was always sports related, but he was very much a positive speaker, not fire and brimstone. So I didn't grow up with that kind of you're going to hell scenario in my head all the time. But you know, we also know that we had to keep on the straight and narrow and that there was an up and there was a down. And so everything that I know to be true up to that point of 21 years is now beginning to crumble in that very moment that time stands still. And as I'm watching that car creep towards me, I'm like, oh, I've done this before. Oh, I've done that. Oh gosh. Okay. We're at the death part now. And I am so comfortable and so aware with the fact that I've been there and done this many times before. And so, A, that is totally not something I would have learned in Sunday school growing up. This is a whole brand new concept. The idea that, wait a second, you mean I've lived before? And, oh, yeah, of course I've lived before. Oh, gosh, I remember how this works now. And I'm looking at this and I realize that I've got two very clear options. One is that when that car speeds back up and it hits me, it is going to hurt. And that's how I'm going to die. Or being aware that I have every capacity within my power to lift my true self, my essence out of the body, that I can exit before the car hits me. So I take option B. Next thing, the second I had made the choice, there I am up and out of the body. Everything speeds back up and bam, I get T-boned. I'm hit 75 miles an hour. My car folds in half. My head goes out the window. I break my neck. There's glass everywhere, just everything that you can picture in a dramatic
end-of-life
car crash. But what was so fascinating was that at the time of that decision, there was a sound. And this begins my journey with frequency. There was this amazing sound. And it sounded, as I always describe, as a bagpipe drone. I play music here in Ireland. I love traditional Irish music. And so I play the bowron or the round drum. My favorite instrument is the Ilian pipes. And they're like a mini version of the bagpipes with the pipe under the arm or the elbow, which is called the Ilian pipes, which means elbow pipes. And they make this beautiful low drone. And that's the closest sound I've ever heard to that moment, which was, as I have now looked back and figured out many years later, this was me still tethered to the earth plane. Mm. So I'm able to get out of the body, but I am still attached to the earthly experience. So that vibration was what was allowed me, the real me, who I really am, to come up and out of the vehicle of my body, but yet remain attached to the experience. Because little did I know at that stage what was preparing to unfold. And so what was absolutely incredible is I am now looking down and I watch everything speed back up, and I now become witness to my own death. It was incredible.
It sounds incredible. And what I'm so impressed with, obviously, and is the level of awareness that you had, because, and I want our audience to really, you know, take this in for a moment. What you're describing is nanoseconds, right? Where all of this is happening. You have this awareness that this car is coming. You are aware that you have a choice. You're aware that you have chosen this. You are aware that, and all of these pieces, like puzzle pieces, are there before you. And all of this is really happening in the blink of an eye.
Absolutely. The veil, once the veil lifts, there is an instantaneous remembering. Instantaneous. Yeah. And then you suddenly realize, oh my gosh, I agreed to come do this. Oh, wait a minute. I'm here because I wanted to be here. I'm here in this body experiencing this life because it's something that I felt that I needed to do. All of that is there.
So do you mind if I just pop in here and ask you a question?
Sure.
About something you just said. And that is this awareness that you needed to experience this. Now, we of course have all heard of the term karma. When you say that you were here experiencing this because it was necessary for you, is there any part of that that is karmic in terms of past lives? Or did you have a greater sense that it had more to do with the unfolding of your purpose here in this time frame, or body time, I should say, or both?
Definitely both. So what's so interesting about that is that so many people have a misconception about karma, and, you know, because we love to toss it around going, karma's a bitch and karma's this and karma's that. And, you know, it's great. As if it's some kind of retribution or payback for something wrong, as opposed to the beautiful teaching mechanism that the universe has set in place. And what's so fascinating is, you know, now in working with people in healing, and when you're presenting this idea to someone that maybe they have brought a process or a scenario into their lives in order to enrich their own growth experience, you'll oftentimes hear, especially when speaking of something very uncomfortable, people will go, I would never have chosen that. I would have never have chosen cancer. I would have never chosen for my husband to cheat on me. I would have never have chosen to have lost a child. I would have never, ever, 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 ever. I'm like, oh, so you would have only chosen the good stuff. Well, your soul obviously, thank heavens, knew better, because that's not what Earth is set up for. Earth is a dichotomy of dark and light. The beauty of the Earth plane is that we can simultaneously experience absolute bliss and joy and horror and hardship and great challenges and difficulty at the exact same time. And that is a very difficult concept for someone to swallow when they're in pain and when they're hurting emotionally or physically. But folks, guess what? That's exactly how it works out. And so when making that choice of coming here, and when realizing, oh my gosh, when that veil drops suddenly and I'm like, oh yeah, oh, I remember exactly what I came here to do. Whoop. This is incredible. Hold on a second. I'm in charge of how this unfolds. This is my death. I get to choose how it plays out. And as we later find out, I got to choose that I wasn't finished yet. And so when it's a thing of karma unfolding, karma just being the great teacher, but that great teacher being, it is we who create these circumstances for ourselves in order to learn and to grow. So karma being a set of circumstances that is going to allow the unfoldment of that. And, so that's why it's yes to both of those questions. It's, is it karma? Sure it is. It's because I set up these things for myself to learn and to grow. I set up these challenges, these obstacles, and come to find out, I had set up a car accident for myself at the age of 21. If I hadn't made it to adulthood and utilized the gifts that I had come in here with in service to humanity. I had set up a challenge for myself to find my own way to stewardship. And what was so interesting is that at 21, I was a nice person. I wasn't doing anything wrong to anybody, but I wasn't doing anything necessarily helpful with these amazing things that I could do. And so, bam, I set this accident up and suddenly I get this big, you know, kick in the behind. Guess what? Do you remember what you, oh my gosh. Of course I remember now. Whew. Thank goodness. And put me back in, coach. I'm going in. And in I went.
So, of course, you were referring to pre-birth planning, which for a lot of people is a difficult concept, right? To imagine that they are involved with this pre-birth planning and that all of the bits and pieces, including the other people that will be part of that soul group to help you to actualize, is all part of it. So everybody raises their hand, agrees to take their place, and bam, here you are. Exactly. So you're having all of this awareness take place. I have to ask, you had mentioned bliss and joy. Did you experience that on the other side of the veil?
Oh gosh, bliss and joy seem infantile as far as a description for the feeling. There isn't, I don't have words for it. You know, you take off what feels like you've got on two pairs of jeans and your heavy winter coat, and let's imagine they're soaking wet, and you peel them off, and the freedom of leaving that body behind and not having anything, any attachment towards it other than gratitude. But it's like, I had the same attachment to leaving that body as I do to when I change cars. What a great car. We had some great times in that. And then I moved on to another one. So it was fascinating to be able to leave all that behind and come into this new awareness of how all of this actually operates. And so, how does one describe that as blissful and joyful other than that moment when you can remember? Let's say you've been trying to remember something and you couldn't, and you've been racking your brains, and then all of a sudden it pops into your head, and that elation that comes with, oh yes, yeah, and we get really excited. And imagine that on steroids times a million, and you're in this space where you have literally returned to the true essence of yourself, your pure frequency and light. And you are recognizing, hang on a second. Oh my gosh, that's part of the human experience. That whole thing where we tell ourselves that the solutions to everything, or that guidance that we seek, or that higher power that we're searching for, is something outside of ourselves. Oh gosh, it was me all along. Imagine the joy that comes with that. And that's what it's like. And you're stepping back into that beautiful space of remembering who and what you really are. And my favorite line is, we already are that which we seek. That was the big aha.
Mm-hmm. And it is a big aha. And the reason I asked you about what you experienced in terms of the bliss and the joy is, well, as I shared with you, I also am a two-time NDE-er, near-death experiencer. And I myself know the difficulty in describing that euphoria, and it is so compelling to become a greater and greater and greater expression of it. Like you just want to blend into all of it and feel that oneness. And I know I've worked with a number of people who also have had NDEs and have come back and have struggled with guilt, Mary Helen, guilt about experiencing that sensation, that euphoria, and feel guilty because in that moment, it was very difficult for them to make the choice to come back. And I know so often it's described as a huge struggle to leave that sensation, that oneness, and knowing that you're coming back to Earth from more struggle. Did you experience any of that?
Not in the slightest. But I
were just go all the way.
I think, and this is the truth, I think it has a lot to do with the disposition or personality of the individual prior to the experience as well. And because it's all just experience, there's not a right or wrong answer to this. For me, one of my friends that I speak with quite often on the circuit about NDE, my friend Peter Bedard, who wrote a book called Convergence Healing about how he got himself out of the absolute darkness following his NDE, because he was furious. He was furious that he came back and mad at himself, because he knew it was his choice. And he was so angry that he fell into a very deep depression, because his body was smashed up like mine was. And he had been a dancer, and that was his career over. And what was he thinking when he was in that space? And I'll tell you exactly what he was thinking. He was thinking with his true mind. And he was recognizing that's a place of permanence. That's what we are. That's what we return to. That's the perfection that we come from. And while in that space, when making that decision to come back, all we're actually thinking is, you know, oh, that time, that struggle on Earth is so limited, and I'm going to go make the most of that, because this is what I come back to. And so I know not so much the guilt of coming back as I know those who have been angry that they made the choice to come back. And I just didn't have that experience. I was, I think he will admittedly say he could tend towards depression. He could get melancholy in life. And so his experience, then he comes out of that and then comes back into it. And that's where his rage came from. And so I can imagine somebody who would see Earth as a struggle. And look, I've got a list of stuff. We could be here till next Tuesday talking about everything that's wrong with me, you know, as far as having broken my neck and lost my hearing and detached a retina. I've had brain tumor, cancer twice, you name it, I've had it. And I could keep going down this list. And yet, because of my personality type, I don't see any of those other than personal challenges. And those are challenges that I set for myself that I'm actually quite grateful for. And because I'd be a competitive sort, I like to see how far I can push myself. And so I think taking that personality with me into that space and having that understanding that I was choosing to come back in to the challenges and difficulties that were ahead of me, has made them completely wonderful. You know, I understand that there are people who don't feel that way. I can't say that happened to me, because it didn't happen. I was elated to come back into a broken body.
Yeah, I think, and you know, I like what you said before, everybody has their own unique experience. Actually, I was referring to those who felt guilty about not wanting to come back, even though they knew that their loved ones, of course, would want them back, and the guilt being described as feeling guilty that they wanted to stay where they were rather than come back with their loved ones. And that was so hard for them. But what I think,
I have personally, and again, mine is not the only NDE out there, you know, so different people have had different experiences. But when shedding the mortal coil and being in that space of being completely aware once out of the body of who and what I really am, I struggle a little bit with hearing stories about those who had this experience or that experience that are related to the human emotion base. I think that's interesting, because when we're in that space where we've come out of the body and we've come out of that experience, when I hear too much about emotions that are human emotions that are being applied to that experience, like guilt, like, oh, my family, oh my, because anybody I've ever spoken to who has had an NDE and had the chance to go and look back at that body, they weren't clamoring to get back in their body because of some loved one. They were aware instantaneously as to how their death would unfold in the larger picture. And it wasn't a pining away at trying to get back into an experience unless they weren't actually finished, not for the family or the friends or those they left behind, but for themselves. So I can't speak on behalf of somebody who had that experience, nor do I say it's not possible, because of course anything is possible. I personally didn't have that experience because I wouldn't have found, that's why it's difficult to find words to describe the feeling outside of body, because again, we're trying to use terms that we would use to describe human emotional states to describe the indescribable.
Of course. And like you said, it can always, you know, also be 2020 hindsight.
Of course.
And attaching emotion to it.
Absolutely.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
What was your reaction when you came out of this? So you find yourself obviously in the hospital in a very broken body. Mm-hmm. And having had this incredible out-of-body experience, was it something that you felt compelled to talk about immediately, or was, you know, you're so unique because you were so aware even before the accident occurred, you were so consciously aware of what was happening. What was your reaction afterwards, Mary Helen?
This is how we knew it was real, because I was speechless for about 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
That would definitely not be part of my personality.
Not your typical MO, huh?
Yeah, definitely not. Do you know what was really interesting? What I think as I sat there trying to digest, okay, all right, my body is messed up and I'm so young and I've, you know, I've got my sweetheart there and I'm going to, oh yeah, we were going to get married. And all of that aside, I think the biggest thing, and the reason I was dumbfounded. I couldn't speak about anything for a couple of days because my perception of reality, which was already pretty open at that stage, but my perception was about time. That's the thing that really, and messed me up in a good way.
Sure.
Because there was the moment when I went through the, I guess what you'd call your life review scenario, where I was in what looked like a 360 degree arena. And it was in that moment, as I'm watching myself talking as a 2-year-old and I'm being raped as a 17-year-old and I'm winning Living History Day as a 12-year-old and I'm driving my first car at a 15-year-old in 8 months and I've got my first kiss and I've got this happening over here and this, and they were all happening simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to witness it simultaneously. And it was, you want to talk about mind blown, time bending craziness, because everything that I thought I knew to be true at that stage just imploded in front of my face. Yeah. And it wasn't a bad experience. It wasn't a negative experience. It was a, oh my God.
Sure.
Oh yeah. That's how this were. Oh my gosh, the time thing. And it's like Dorothy waking up out of the, you know, in the Wizard of Oz, and that moment where you're like, hang on, and you were there, and you were there, and you were there. And then I was like, I was there, but I was there and all of those, doing all of those things at the same time. And so the concept of linear time had now exploded in my face, and I am forced to digest the reality of concurrent time. But when you're coming back into a world where we play in linear time, but you now have this deep understanding of concurrent time, it was just, it rendered me speechless.
Sure, of course. And it is that whole time warp, right? Where, and it's not just you trying to wrap your head around it. It's, you know, all of your parts, all of your cells, all of your particles, right? Trying to realign with this human experience that I can say that as impossible as that sounds, it's as impossible as it feels.
Yes.
Oh my God. I you know, for you, I think particularly, and again, I come back to what makes your story so unusual is to have been witnessing it, you know, right from the get-go and having this conscious awareness of it. So tell me about the shock of the awareness then that your body was so badly broken.
Well, what was so strange was it was a Saturday and I ended up being taken in the ambulance to a teaching hospital in Charleston. And it was so bizarre, obviously set up that way. I ended up being missed as far as whatever the way the staffing went, whoever was on duty, whatever happened, I was let out and they didn't know my neck was broken.
Oh, Lord.
Dear and God. It was consequently the chiropractor who found the broken neck. And it was the same chiropractor, Dr. Anthony Ross, on John's Island in Charleston, who decided not just to treat me as a patient, but to educate me. Mm. And now it began to make sense because my grandfather, who was a medical doctor, a surgeon, had told me prior to this visit to the chiropractor that I was going to go. They were sending me to chiropractic school. They, as in he and his little heavenly pals. And I'm going, no. I just graduated from college and I am going nowhere. That's not happening.
Yeah.
And then they send along Dr. Ross, and it was Dr. Ross who ends up educating me as I went along, and he showed me how my body worked. And suddenly this concept that my grandfather Judge had wanted me to learn, that we are a vitalistic organism as opposed to a mechanistic machine of pieces and parts, and that my body was created to serve my spirit, not the other way around. And that in understanding how that functions, you now don't become an enemy of disease. You now don't try to rid the body of everything that's wrong with it. You learn to listen. You learn to navigate. You learn to see the maps and the road signs as to when your body is giving you every little bell and whistle every time you step out of alignment. Every time. And what we do is we've become so quick fix that we don't like to be uncomfortable any longer. And so this is why, for me, I'm so grateful that I understand that what the challenge of being human is. It's not about the fairy tale and perfectly well-lived life here as a human being is not to have had no pain, not to have not experienced emotional trauma, not to not have experienced physical trauma. The whole point is to have it and to understand why you have it. And that's why, you know, I titled my latest book, Understanding is the New Healing. I mean that. Understanding the why is where you're going to find your healing. Because healing doesn't mean that everything difficult or uncomfortable just goes away. And when I returned, you know, into this body, I came back not only with those abilities that I'd had all growing up, but now I suddenly find myself able to download somebody's hard drive. I can literally download information about that individual that's necessary in order to assist me in assisting them as they heal themselves. I don't need to know their color of underwear or their bank details or anything like that. I'm getting information about why they are in the current state that they are in order to share that with them so that they can do something with that. And it's quite fascinating because one of the biggest misconceptions with people who come in for healing is that healing means that they get rid of whatever it is that ails them. Some of the most beautiful healings I've assisted with are those that ended in death. Mm-hmm. And so it's that idea, that fairy tale we've sold ourselves about the idea that the human life, the best lived human life, is one that's without its struggles and one that's not painful and one that is that looks really pretty from the outside. And that's just not the way it works. We all know that. And it's right in front of our faces because not one of us could sit and point a finger at somebody who's had a perfect life. There isn't such a thing.
That's right.
Because all of our concepts of perfect are completely different. Mm-hmm.
And we could look at it from a completely different perspective and say that they're all perfect.
Exactly.
for that soul and what it required in order to expand and grow.
And that's why I'm saying we already are that which mm-hmm. we see.
So tell us something. What took you to Ireland?
Ancient symbols.
Oh, God, I can relate to this. Okay, I want to hear more. Tell me.
Yes, I started when I was in chiropractic school, I started seeing these symbols, and they used to come in threes, like the burning bush. excuse me. And they were like some sort of, they ended up looking like an alphabet. And so I went off in pursuit of these symbols and started finding them here and never found all of them in one place, found all of them, but never all together. And so it turns out that it was a pre-Atlantean alphabet called the Goethe alphabet.
How do you spell that?
G-O-T-T-E.
Mm-hmm.
You won't find it on Google.
I'm sure not.
I spent my entire adult life now trying to work, because these are like, each symbol is like a USB mm-hmm. key. You know, I can write them down. They're like 2D flat iconographs, but how they work vibrationally is they're, you know, you've got a fifth dimensional element to these, where if you took somebody from 1781 and showed them a USB key and plugged it in and all this information downloaded onto a computer, they'd just be completely freaked out. So when you're talking about how could a symbol storehouse so much information? Well, it storehoused information of what our planet was like prior to the last cataclysm, 13,700 and a few bits ago. And so that's what those symbols were. And so that's how I ended up coming to Ireland. So no, I didn't marry an Irishman. No, I didn't. You know, I came here and set up my chiropractic practice, and then have been traveling the world from here as a base in pursuit of better being able to understand the use of these symbols, the use of frequency, and how I can utilize that in order to show other people how to heal themselves. So I have gone from an egotistical healer of 21 who loved being able to put their hands on somebody and know everything about them, to growing up and recognizing that my greatest service to somebody else is showing them, wiping the windows clean so they can see for themselves how to heal themselves.
Mm. So when you're working with someone, do you use these symbols? Do you attune them to the symbol?
I do. Mm-hmm. Most of the time their eyes are closed when that's happening. It's a very personal thing. But what I've been able to do with the frequency is I was blessed beyond to meet a man named Greg Papagna, who is my dearest, dearest, dearest friend. And he is the frequency guru. And so he lives in Los Angeles. And that's why I work and live in Los Angeles during the summers every year. And I could turn to him and go, I have synesthesia. So one of the things that happened when I broke my neck and I came back with a messed up vagus nerve and all sorts of fun things is that I can taste danger. I can smell an entity attachment. I can feel color. And so my senses are hardwired and crosswired very differently. And so what's interesting is I could go to Greg, hey, I'm working on this brain tumor and it sounds like this, and he can recreate the exact frequency. And so the very same as using homeopathy, if I can inject the same frequency as the process that's going on in the individual's body, they can bypass all their BS and their mind chatter, and they can go back and sit in the original state of health, and they can choose to heal that if they want to.
Yes. Yes, so absolutely.
It's pretty cool.
That is fantastic. So tell me, I know you're in the midst of a new audiobook, right, that you're releasing?
It's just been released, yes.
Okay, wonderful. Yes. Congratulations. Tell us about this, please.
I'm very excited. It's Understanding is the New Healing audio, and I'm so excited about it because it's the first audiobook in Amazon Audible history to be backed with brainwave states and correlating frequencies that allow the listener to become immersed in the story, giving them the potential to heal if they have trauma related to the subject matter that we're speaking about It is so incredible. And it was such a, it was just every moment doing it was a wow moment. It was just, you could literally feel that. And so all of these frequencies that my friend Greg has created are now backing this with brainwave states that allow the body, it's like cell permeability. It allows the, that particular brainwave state allows you to integrate the information via this frequency. And so someone could be listening to a story about a woman who's having to abort her sixth child so that her husband won't murder her. And they're connecting to some element of that story and they're allowing themselves on a deep cellular level to heal that trauma themselves.
Mm.
It's incredible. Yeah.
So oh my gosh. I look forward. Yeah. I look forward to hearing about the miracles that that will create.
Oh, I'm just so proud of it. And it's just such a gift to be able to share that and to share his work as well. Greg's work with frequency. But that we're able to match that up and, you know, using this NDE in a space where the person listening to it can get that exact same awareness and that exact same connection without having to go through the death process yet in order to get that learning.
So, hallelujah.
I know they always think you and I are the enlightened ones for having the NDEs. And I'm going, no. We were bottom of the class. We had to die to get it.
Oh, Lord. Oh, wow. That's just fabulous. I honestly can't wait to hear all the wonderful healings that are going to take place from that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. So tell me about this, or tell our audience also about this boom, this project that was born out of the pandemic. Yeah, I'm so interested in hearing.
Another fabulous thing born of the COVID. So when I was in Los Angeles in March recording the book, I ended up getting COVID. And so I was there. I won't say stuck there because I was very happy to be there. And my children were in school here. They go to performing arts college. So they weren't home anyway. And so one of my daughter's teacher, Rory Hughes, he came up with this idea and he said, you know, there's a couple of us, we have some great contacts on Broadway and they're not working now. Broadway is completely closed down. And what do you think about doing something to bring that, you know, make them available to the world? And we were like, okay, amazing. And so BOOM stands for Broadway Online Official Masterclasses. And so we work with the hottest names in Broadway at the moment who are just people like you and I who are no longer working because their theaters are closed. Mm-hmm. And so they have all this incredible talent and all this knowledge to share. And you've got so many people who wouldn't have access to them or maybe couldn't go actually see a show on Broadway and now who are now having these one-on-one sessions with their favorite stars. You know, so like I'm learning to rap from Austin Scott, who was Hamilton, you know, and then Eva Noblezada, who's the star of Hadestown. And she is just a prolific and deeply spiritual individual. And listening, you know, Laura Bell Bundy, who was Ellen Legally Blonde, and how incredibly insightful these people are. And they're sharing more than just their acting or singing abilities. Now people are getting to see the actual individual and all of what they went through, and they're sharing their secrets and their time and their talent, and people are getting to perform for them. So like my birthday is next week, and so the girls and I are spending, my daughters and I are spending Sunday with James Snyder, the guy who plays Harry Potter, because we're all big Potterheads. Mm-hmm. And the guy who plays Potter on Broadway. And so we're taking, there's only 10 of us who are doing the actual interactive, and you can have as many observers as you want. And so we're taking that class together in order to sharpen our monologue skills. And so I'm always speaking, I'm always on stage, I'm always doing podcasts, and also, why wouldn't I want to do that? And are you kidding? From Harry Potter?
Sure.
So that's BOOM in a nutshell.
Amazing. Really, really wonderful on so many different levels, you know? All right. Well, unfortunately, our time together has come to an end. There's so much that we have to talk about yet.
What's just happening? Have to do another show.
I know. My God, what's happening in Hollywood?
Oh, goodness. There's all sorts of fun stuff. I just finished the summer doing a screenplay about some extremely interesting information. Which is very current to what we're going through at the moment. So there's all sorts of new series and new films, documentaries that are coming up that are gently exposing the truth of what we live in. And when the second we hear expose and truth, we always think negative. And there is so much more to it than negative. There's so much beautiful positivity unfolding as well as we see the darkness fall away. So it's important to remember that. So there's a lot of really exciting stuff coming up.
How fabulous. Well, I look forward to it. And of course, having been in this field now for nearly 45 years, all I can say is that I'm so grateful every single day when there's yet another person talking about it, when yet there's yes. another book written, when yet there is another film made, another organization that comes together. And it has been the most remarkable experience to bear witness to the growth of the consciousness and the conscious awareness that people have. And I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And
oh,
I think I can
wonderful.
Speak for my audience as well. You know, thank you for all the work you're doing. Thank you for your courage, for your fortitude, because I know what it takes to bring all of these things to life. And really, how wonderful to have had you here with us. We're very blessed. And I look
thank
forward
you so
to
much.
The next time.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. And thank you in return for all that you're doing, because I couldn't be me without you doing you.
That's correct. A very closely symbiotic relationship. And that's
Absolutely.
What makes the world turn. Yeah. So much love to you. And thank you. And thank you to everyone tuning in for your time, your energy, and of course, that great big huge heart of yours that is yearning for more. And you tuned in here. So we'll see you again soon. And thank you again, Mary Helen. And we'll speak.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.